your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. And this is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie on this Tropical Tuesday.
Tropical Tuesday.
It feels like we're in the tropics here. I think for much of the country, actually.
Thankfully, we don't have the humidity that we could here in Minnesota, because we can get the high humidity here as well, but we don't have it right now, which is a gift, because with the heat and the humidity, as anybody that's in it knows, it's a beast.
Mm-hmm. It is a little humid, but not like 70 degree dew points, that's for sure. Yeah. You know, so yes, we are happy. We are so happy about that for sure. Hey, I got to share with you, Heidi. So Jerry found the very first Gathering Radio show with you and I and Kristen.
Oh, no.
And Jerry, I know you're listening. Can you post the link on here for people to listen to? And I'll try to post it on our Facebook page as well. It is hysterical.
Boy.
Can I just say?
Oh, boy.
Remember
how we chatted
about
that?
Yeah. The three of us huddled. Actually, we were remote for the first one. I'm not sure why that was, but we were all on the phone.
As we were getting connected, Jerry just hooked us up through the phone, and we just gave it a whirl.
That's right.
So
I couldn't remember how that worked. But, yeah, so we weren't huddled around the kitchen table here. But
not yet.
But yeah, it's a good show. You know, even though I thought we sounded pretty good, you know, our very first show, didn't really know it was working, but it worked, you know, so it's fun. So yeah, I'll post it on the Facebook page. Hopefully Jerry can get the link up here too.
Were we huddled?
He
said
we were
huddled.
Because I listened to it because I wanted to hear it. And I thought we said we were on the phone, but maybe I was mistaken somehow. Anyway.
Well, cool. I know we had fun doing it, you know,
yes.
we had fun doing it a couple weeks ago when we were together, and that was, we were huddled around our own microphones in the studio together, though.
Yes.
That was cool. It was nice
apart.
To be with her.
Yeah. And we will do that again soon. And it's kind of our plan, I think, to try to do that every month or 2 months or something, you know, all three of us, because we do have a good time and we certainly have enough to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's funny. I'm sure it sounds different, but good.
Yeah.
I know. It was scary.
It was.
We were doing it once a month, and we were terrified.
Oh, I know. I know. We were kind of terrified. And we talked so slow, like this.
Very measured.
Oh, my gosh. I think that's so funny. But anyway. Yeah, and Jerry's saying you can hear the laptop slide, and you could hear us typing, you know, because it's the way it was back in those days.
Well, we didn't have a microphone.
We didn't.
I think.
No.
Right?
No.
So we were just using the laptop microphone, and so you're basically typing on the microphone because you're using the laptop and the microphone all in the same unit. So, of course, you're going to hear the microphone.
Yeah.
The microphone's going to pick that up like crazy.
Yep. Oh, gosh. Yeah, no, it's really fun. It's really fun. So we'll get that out there. But yeah, I just had to share that because it's a good one. So
that's funny.
Yeah. And Mercury is in retrograde fully, yep. And it is a bad one this time for me anyway. How about you?
You know, it's been an interesting little journey in this retrograde, because this is the time where communications, retrograde with Mercury specifically, mm-hmm. can really fall apart, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of struggles. And just yes. this weekend, it has been this roller coaster of, you've got to be kidding these,
right?
and stuff that I'm not ready to put out there yet, but eventually I will. Yeah. I've just been like, are you really kidding me? Is this how it's going to go this time? But you know, what's really, really nice is the work that I do and the methods that I teach, I myself get to put into practice all the time, just like everybody else. And so I was hit with something really major yesterday, and I thought, you can't even begin to tell me that this is going to come up now. And it was like the worst punch in the stomach I could have imagined. And all I could do was take a deep breath and say, you know what? It's going to be okay. Spirit isn't going to leave me hanging like this. I'm going to be able to figure this out. Just take a step, you know, take a moment, and then let's just see what we can do to move forward from here. And I was surprised at how, I don't know if I was surprised, but I was pleased, I guess, with how well I handled it. You know, and mm-hmm. I was just like, you know what? And I knew though that mm-hmm. it was going to be okay. Like yeah. whatever was going to happen, it was going to work out okay. And within 24 hours, there's been such a change and such a shift already that I'm like, see, I know just doing it this way is so helpful, because when you freak out and you go sideways and you run down a random path just because you're freaking out, it doesn't help anything.
Right.
And you know, can sometimes make it worse, because then you miss opportunities to
yes.
move forward. And so anyway,
it
was nice that I had the tools to be able to yeah. use them for this situation that I'll probably talk about soon. I hope I can mm-hmm. talk about soon, but mm-hmm. it was tough, because I thought, you've got to be kidding me, Mercury.
Well,
you sly dog, don't you do this. And it happened.
You know, and even on the island, you know, my Zen place, there were things that I was just so crabby one day. And Casey's like, what is with you? I said, I don't know, just leave me alone. And then I said, oh, by the way, it's Mercury retrograde, so that could have a part of it, you know. So then I started to lighten up, because then I thought, okay, this is ridiculous. We're going to stop this, you know. So, like you know, you just got to step back and say, enough, you know. Anyhow, yeah, so funny. So all of you out there, things are happening, you know, just calm.
Yeah.
Just step back and think about it for a minute and, you know, crazy.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath and process and move forward and
have some chocolate.
And have some chocolate.
Put your feet on the ground, drink some coffee. You know, there are some things you can do. So
drink your decaf.
Oh my gosh. Karen's saying life has been good there. Well, good for you, Karen. I mean, I gotta say it's fine. There was just, even on, like I said, normally on the island, I'm just as happy as a bee, and I'm always happy to be there, and I'm always happy when I'm there. But yeah, for some reason, one of those days I was just, oh, so cranky. Oh my gosh. I couldn't even stand myself, you know? But anyway, it's over. Lots of wine and chocolate. See, we all have our ways. So, yeah, so that's what's shaking in this world. Had an overnight flight back, which was horrendous. I don't know. I'm sure people have experienced those middle-of-the-night flights. They're awful. You lose, you know, sleep for like 48 hours, and it's awful. But we did it.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a small price to pay.
Yes.
For going on a trip.
You're right. It is true. Absolutely. So, anyway. So, we have a guest on the show tonight, Heidi.
We do have a guest, and it's a guest. He's a guest we've had before, a few times, actually. And we have Robert Peterson on with us tonight. And Robert is an out-of-body experience expert. He's written 5 books on the subject and has encyclopedias worth of information tucked away at any moment's notice about out-of-body experiences and everything else too. He's really interesting to talk to. We're super excited. Welcome, Bob, to the Gathering Radio Show.
Hi, Steph and Heidi. Glad to be on.
We are super excited to have you here.
Well, it's always fun to be on the show. I haven't done an interview for a little while, so it's good to get back up in those things.
Mm-hmm. Great. That's awesome. Yeah. And I see you're in the chat room, so you will be also able to see the questions that come up through the chat room. And so as we're talking, we'll navigate those as we fit them into the conversation. So anybody that has questions for Bob, go ahead and put those into the chat room as we're talking about out-of-body experiences. And we have a couple of things, Bob, that you wanted to talk about to kick off this part of the show. So do you want to get started? I think you were talking about some current events with out-of-body experiences.
Yeah, I always just start with like out-of-body news because I don't know how many people are in touch with the astral projection community, out-of-body experience community, all of that. But I thought I'd talk about some out-of-body news. First of all, astral projection or out-of-body experience has gained a lot of popularity recently because there was a recent show on Netflix called Behind Her Eyes. And if you haven't seen it, it's a limited show. There's only like 8 episodes or something like that, but it's a suspenseful thriller with a kind of a supernatural twist a little bit, and out of body experiences play a big role in the show. So that of course spurred a lot of interest out there. I saw Facebook groups lit up with information on that. And they're all looking for, oh, how can I do this? And is this real? And all of that. So so that's one thing. So that's gained a lot of popularity. And because of the popularity, my most recent book, which is Hacking the Out-of-Body Experience, is still selling pretty well. And it varies quite a bit, but it's gotten very good write-ups from people, good reviews. And if you ask... There's like a 50 different astral projection related Facebook groups. And if you go out to Facebook and get in any of those groups and ask, you know, what's the best book on learning how to out of body experience, how to induce it, they almost always come up with my book, which is fantastic.
Great.
But anyway, I wanted to talk also about other out of body news. The Monroe Institute is reopening for live classes. Again, this is the institute in Virginia that was founded by Robert Monroe, who's probably the most famous out-of-body person. He wrote 3 books on the subject. His first was called Journey to the Body, and it's the book that got me started on this path. So anyway, he started the Monroe Institute, and he's long since passed on, but the institute was shut down for COVID, of course, and they were playing extra cautious. But now they're reopening for live classes, so you can look that up. They have all kinds of good programs, including some out-of-body stuff that they do. Scott Taylor was the director of the institute, and he has since left the institute as director. I don't know why or anything behind that. The acting director is now Stephen Ng-Kui Sang, who is I've met him. He's a great guy. He's been around since, you know, forever, I think, in the institute. Other news, unfortunately, William Buhlman is retired from teaching live classes at the institute, and he had been scheduled to do a couple classes there, and I got me and a bunch of friends to sign up. That we had taken Buhlman's class like 10 years ago, and we were going to go and have this big 10-year anniversary trip to the Institute and kind of give Bill Buhlman a good send-off and all of that. And then everything got canceled by COVID, so we weren't able to do that, and unfortunately. Bill is, however, teaching some online classes, and you can check his website for that. Other news, author Graham Nichols is reworking his book, Navigating the Out-of-Body Experience, and that should be out later this year, and I'm looking forward to that. The original was a very good book, and it's kind of underrated, but it's got a lot of good information on there. He's a self-taught astral projector or out-of-body experiencer, and his advice is very sound. So I do recommend that. I've got the original version of his book, and I'm looking forward to the rewrite. There is a if anyone is interested in out-of-body experiences, there is a community on Discord. There's an astral projection channel or whatever set up by a guy named Gene Hart, and that's H-A-R-T, G-E-N-E, H-A-R-T. And Gene just came out with his first book, which is called Beyond Dreaming. And the subtitle, I don't remember off the top of my head, but it has something to do with out-of-body experiences and possibly lucid dreaming as well. There's a podcast. There's a guy named Maverick Vardoger. It's actually a pseudonym, but he's got a book on out-of-body experiences, a very good book. And he has a podcast now called Evidence of the Afterlife. And it seems like maybe he's been working with my favorite OBE author, Jürgen Ziva, on this one, because Jürgen keeps posting, I think he's up to part 20 now, of Evidence of the Afterlife. And I think what Jürgen has had a very diverse and rich collection of out-of-body experiences. And like I said, he's my favorite author. So let's see, as far as news from me, I am doing an interview for a podcast called Everything Imaginable on Thursday, so a couple days from now, and hopefully, I don't know when that's going to go live or appear. I don't think it's a live interview, so it'll probably be put into the podcast and reworked and all of that, and then sent out after that, and I don't have a date on that. Let's see. Also, I this spring I did a bunch of videos on YouTube that I call Truth Bomb videos, and it's basically just me rambling on about life, liberty, and whatever. It's not political, I promise. It's all, you know, about life and meaning and all of that, finding meaning. And let's see. Also, I actually am published in another. I got a couple of short stories I published in a book called The Storyville Project, and it's fiction. They're just two short stories. And then, of course, I'm still working on my blog. I've actually done 114 book reviews all about out-of-body experience or lucid dreaming, most about OBEs, astral projection, and that. Aside from the 114 book reviews, I've also done 94 blog articles with tips and techniques and all of that. My blog is
OBEoutlook.blogspot.com.
Yeah. My brain is too scattered right now. Anyway, I've done 94 articles for the that aren't book reviews for that blog as well. And I just realized I'm almost at 9 years. I've been doing this blog for almost 9 years now, which is pretty incredible. Yeah, and that's putting out articles like every 2 weeks. So, yeah.
Wow. Good for you. That's fantastic. Cool. You're kind of busy, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of a busy boy. I've been also doing more research on out-of-body experiences. I've been doing research on vestibular problems and how they relate to OBEs. That's your sense of balance. Turns out that people who have vestibular problems tend to have more OBEs than people who don't. Doing some research on OBEs and the gut microbiome, which is basically the little microbes in your intestines that break down food and how they affect out-of-body experience. And turns out that some things like, constipation, for example, will seems to make out-of-body very unlikely. And so a lot of OBE stuff seems to depend on a healthy gut microbe system, and that's always changing with what you eat. And anyway, and fasting and things like that. So anyway, yeah, I'm always doing research on my own and trying to figure out new things. I've actually learned a lot of things on, you know, since I've written that Hacking the Out-of-Body Experience, and I've tried to put almost all of that out in my blog. So awesome. Anyway.
Very cool. Very cool.
Wow. I'm curious, but we'll wait to ask about how the different, you know, functions in the body maybe not working at their prime could affect the out-of-body experience. But I want to make sure we get to the chat room questions first.
Yeah.
But that one intrigues me when you talk about that. So we'll get to that in a little bit, maybe.
So Karen is asking, she wants to know what your OBE experiences are and how do you do it? Because you do this quite often, right? You're not just a researcher. You do the out-of-body experiences. You experience them.
Yeah, I do when I can. But the problem is the older I get, the less time I get and the more focused I am on physical things. Mm-hmm. And the less time I take to, you know, just relax and meditate. I mean, but yes, I do experience OBEs myself. And matter of fact, my first book is Out of Body Experiences, How to Have Them and What to Expect. And it's based entirely on my own experiences. And I have quite a few examples in the book of my OBEs and what I've encountered. And I tried to go about it pretty scientifically. In other words, I tried to report what exactly I had encountered and not go off on wild tangents of, you know, fairy rides and all of this stuff, but this is actually what I experienced, right? This is how eyesight seems to work. Because, I mean, things like eyesight, for example, how do you manage to see? Because you don't have physical eyes, right? You're perceiving something, and your brain is interpreting it as an eyesight, but you don't have, it's not, you're not looking through eyes. So there's this whole story of experience is what I call it in my book, where your brain is telling you what's happening to you, and it's getting that information from your senses. But to have an out-of-body experience, basically, you have to derail that story of experience. You have to feed it with false information and make it go off the rails so that you can redirect it to a conscious out-of-body experience. So anyway, to answer Karen's question, what my out-of-body experiences are, they're many and varied. I've had hundreds of them, literally. Sometimes they're very uninteresting. So I'll, like, pop out of my body, like, a foot out and then get sucked back in and like that. Other times I'll have longer OBEs. I'd say the longest OBE I've had was probably, 2.5 hours, something like that. It seemed like a very long time anyway. So, yeah, I'm not just a researcher. How I did it is I started out, as I kind of mentioned earlier, reading Robert Monroe's first book, Journeys Out of the Body. And in that, he gives a couple of suggestions on things to try as far as how to leave your body. And I tried one of those, and I was very shocked to find that it worked. And, of course, the second time I tried it, it didn't work for me. So I set about this quest of learning how to do it myself, and I ended up developing my own techniques quite a bit. But also I read, you know, I started gathering hundreds of books on the topic. And, of course, you know, when I was doing this back in, you know, the 1980s, or I started in 1979. So back in the 1980s, there weren't that many books. Now there's like over 200 of them. But every little book has their own little techniques and tips and suggestions and things like that. So I just went about going through how other people had done it and you know, gathering all of that information and just practice.
Mm. Wow. Very cool. So if you want details on how those experiences looked, you should go and buy Bob's book, first book. Mm-hmm. So that'll give you
well, and
all
actually,
of
And actually, not to make this into a sales pitch, because my first book, Out-of-Body Experiences, How to Have Them and What to Expect, is available for free online on my website, and it has been since its publication, and actually since before its publication. And so if you go out to robertpeterson.org and you click on the picture of my first book, it'll take you to the chapters and you can read them there. You can't actually download it to like a e-reader, like a Kindle or anything. From there, you'd have to buy it if you want a physical copy or a Kindle copy or whatever. But the information's out there, along with pointers to links to my blog and all of that.
Awesome. So for those of you who want to know how to do it, and how, you know, go to his website and then click on that book, and you should be able to read it all.
Okay, before we go any further, somebody earlier, and it scrolled off my screen, but somebody earlier asked what's more common, OBEs or NDEs. I'd have to say that OBEs are much more common because getting near to death is not something that really happens a lot. And I think a lot of people are having out-of-body experiences out there, but a lot of them are afraid to talk about it because they don't want people to think that they're crazy or whatever. And so they kind of, you know, hide their experiences, like any paranormal experience, right? Like a ghost or whatever you want to. You guys know full well, right? A lot of people just clam up. They don't want to talk about it, right? Because it's such a weird subject. And it's like, no, I don't I don't care how people, you know, people already know I'm weird. So anyway.
Yeah, So.
Okay, so go ahead.
No, go ahead. Are you just going to, so Jerry is asking, are near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences, are they hallucinations?
Are they hallucinations? There's evidence both for and against. And there's a lot of information. A lot of people have come back through after out-of-body experiences and brought back information they couldn't have possibly known otherwise. For example, earlier I talked about Graham Nichols and his book, Navigating the Out-of-Body Experience. Well, in one of his experiences, he flew over, he lived in London at the time, and he flew over and he happened to notice one of the cathedrals, one of the big cathedrals there, and he flew over to the cathedral to investigate because it looked a little unusual, and there he found like there's some big tarps or whatever that they were doing some construction on the top of the cathedral. And so when he got back to his body, he hopped in the car or whatever and went to the cathedral, and he verified that, that church is actually undergoing some construction on the roof. And then he also had some precognitive out-of-body experience. He had an OBE in which he experienced a subway bombing, and that subway bombing actually came true and happened in the same location that he had experienced it in his OBE. And at the time, at that time, he had happened to be teaching a class on astral projection, out of body. And he was teaching a class. And so the students noticed something was very wrong with him and asked him what's going on. And then he told them about the experience he had just had during the class. And so it was verified. I mean, it just, you can't get around that. And there are other great examples too, like one of my favorite stories of verification is Rodrigo Montenegro has a book called An Anthology of Out-of-Body Experiences. And in there, he talks about one guy who left his body and he flew out the window or whatever and went down to his parking lot of his apartment building. And he was determined to find proof. Well, you know, if I'm really out of body, I should be able to find my car in the parking lot. So he goes around looking for his car in the parking lot, and he can't find it. He noticed that this car is white, and his car isn't, and all of these cars. Pretty soon he realized they're all white. And it's like, well, this has got to be a hallucination. These cars can't be all white. So what are the odds against that, right? So then he returns to his body, and he gets up, and he's all discouraged, and he looks outside, and here it had just snowed, and so all of the cars were white.
Wild.
And, I mean, so there are, but you know, if you take a look at that, there have also been cases where people have deliberately tried to do out-of-body and verify things and gotten it wrong many, many times. So, I mean, what it needs is it needs scientific study.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's interesting.
I think Karen has a great point. What is a hallucination? We say they're not real experiences, but maybe we are. Well, dreams, I tend to think of ordinary dreams as hallucinations. They're not real, but in a sense, it's your story of experience, right? Something is happening to you. You're getting an alternate set of data from somewhere, and we don't know where that is. And it's the same with out-of-body experiences. You're tapping in on some information, whether it's quantum theory or whatever, quantum mechanics. You're tapping in on something, and we don't know what that is yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with that, I think we're going to go to commercial break. So stay with us, everyone. This is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network.
I am horror author James Hershey Jr. from the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Check out the book that started it all. What critics called the scariest book of the year. I am Legion. And if you're still breathing, check out the other two books in the series. The Surrogate of Souls and The Rise of the Revenant. These books will scare the hell out of you. That, I promise.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Juarez with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Willow Lehman Shunt, psychic medium, Dark Nola Paranormal, New Orleans.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. We have Bob Peterson with us, an expert on out-of-body experiences. We've had some great questions for you in the chat room, Bob. And I have one for you here that you mentioned. Out-of-body experience and astral projection, and it sounded like they were interchangeable. Is that the case? Would you say that out-of-body experiences and astral projection are the same thing, or are they different?
Well, not everyone agrees on that topic. As far as my first book is concerned, and even the second, I treat them as the same thing. Some people insist that they're not quite the same. They say that astral projection is an out-of-body experience in which you visit the astral plane as opposed to, say, an OBE in which you visit the etheric plane, which is a denser vibration or whatever. So it depends on who you ask. To me, an out-of-body is an out-of-body, and I don't really like the term astral projection because it kind of has a lot of like occult connotations, and mm-hmm. I just as soon avoid that because then you get, you know, kooks who start thinking, oh, this is a form of witchcraft, and, you know, witchcraft is forbidden in the Bible and all of this stuff, and it's like, no. We're just talking about out-of-body experiences here, and it happens to, you know, thousands of maybe even millions of people every day.
Right.
So anyway.
Yeah, out-of-body experience. Same. Okay, so you interchange it, but you prefer to use out-of-body experience as the phrase, the go-to phrase.
Yes.
So this is one of those things, though, and you had mentioned that, you know, people might look at it as some, you know, form of, you know, witchcraft or whatever, but this is really a natural phenomenon, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's been happening you know, from time immemorial. I mean, it's been happening since ancient times. All of our beliefs, I'm firmly convinced that all of our beliefs about the afterlife are based on someone's out-of-body experience. And, I mean, if you look at, for example, the ancient Egyptian Book of the Dead talks about the soul. They obviously had out-of-body experiences to base that on. It wasn't just purely made up. The Book of the Dead, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, has a whole bunch of information about out-of-body stuff, and it's obviously based on experience, someone's firsthand experience. If you go as far back as the Bible, in St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, he talks about a man who 14 years ago was taken up to heaven, and he says, in the body or out of the body, I don't know, only God knows. And he repeats that phrase twice. So to St. Paul in the Bible, out-of-body experiences seem to be just another thing that happens to people, right? I went fishing, and, you know, out of the body, I don't know, maybe he was out of the body, maybe he wasn't. Mm-hmm. But he talks about it so matter-of-factly. And then if you look the Book of Revelations, right, the revelation of John, the divine, it's all one big out-of-body experience because, I mean, it starts out talking about how he was seized with trembling and all of this stuff. And I mean, classic signs of out-of-body experience. And what amazes me is that people can misinterpret that clear message and say that OBEs are... forbidden by the Bible. Well, I've yet to have anyone point out where exactly it's forbidden by the Bible. And if St. Paul talks about it so matter-of-factly, you know, it can't be forbidden. Because he says, you know, I know a Christian man who did this, right? Well, if St. Paul's calling you a Christian and you've been doing out-of-body, that's a pretty good indication it's not forbidden by the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's definitely something that's commonplace. But what gets me is that so many people are out there and they're believing these ancient texts like the Bible, like the Book of the Dead, whatever, or the Quran, whatever, and they're free to believe what they want to believe. But what's happening today is you have a lot of people having out of body experiences. Today. And like for example, Jürgen Ziva, I talked about, he's my favorite OBE author. He's talked about visiting these different worlds and out-of-body experiences and meeting people in the afterlife and really come back with some remarkable stories. And it's like, well, why would you choose to focus all of your beliefs and efforts on a book that was written 2,000 years ago in a different language and translated and mistranslated through hundreds of years, written down after, 20, 30, 40 years of oral tradition before they finally wrote it down. And I mean, there's so many distortions from time, from language, from everything else. And you have perfect examples of the same kind of phenomenon happening today around the world. And it's like, we need to stop getting stuck on the dogma and start researching this and find out what it is, because all of our beliefs in the afterlife are based on someone's firsthand experience, which is usually an out-of-body experience or near-death experience. And it's like, you know, why are we fighting about, you know, whether this religion is the best or that religion is the best? Forget it. You know, go after your own experiences, find out what's really there. Let's study it. Let's study it scientifically and try and figure out what the afterlife is and what our relationship to it really is. And then maybe we can stop all the bickering and fighting and agree what the doctrine is or whatever. But I just think it's ridiculous how people focus on old texts that are based on a different culture. And when they have the information right in front of them, in the form of how many ever books and interviews and whatever you can find online now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's we do have a lot of information now that is available to us quite easily. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting how that, you know, sometimes doesn't get it, you know, people don't look at that. They continue to look at something that is, you know, like the Bible or whatever, which is their choice. Again, that's totally their choice. But when there's so much information out, it's that's available. It's interesting that people wouldn't want to access that.
Well, and like you said, Bob, the Bible has been, it's really just a book. I mean, I do believe there's some value in it, but like you know, it's been misinterpreted. It's been, wasn't written down for years and years and years, and then suddenly, and it's, you know, been gone through several revisions and several translations. I mean, yeah, whatever. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think we should all look for what's out there now, you know?
Yeah.
It's more like a guideline.
Right. Well, and then on the other hand, you have people who go the other direction, to off the deep end, and believe everything they read. And of course, there's a lot of trash out there too. So you can't just pick up a book. I mean, that's kind of why I've done, you know, 114 book reviews on my blog, is because, you know, you can't just pick up a book and assume that it's gospel and that it's going to be correct and give you good information. I've tried to go through all of these out-of-body books and astral projection books and try to sort out what's genuine and what's not. And I can tell, because I've had so many OBEs myself, I can tell when they're making stuff up, you know, and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what's helpful too, is that you're not just studying it, you've done it, you know, so that's where it's helpful for someone like you to go in and say, this makes sense, or, you know, I'm not sure that this is exactly what they mean or what they're talking about, or it's not accurate at all. Like, they actually haven't done one. So that's helpful.
And my general rule of thumb is, you know, trust experience, right? I mean, trust your own experience, first of all, above what other people are telling you. And secondly, if you're looking for a teacher of out-of-body experience, or a book or class or whatever, make sure that person has experienced it themselves, and that it's not just book learning, because book learning will only take you so far, right?
Yep, exactly. So we've got a couple of questions in the chat room, Bob. Sherry, I'm going to scroll back a little bit. She had asked, what do visions of things like documents count as? You close your eyes and you see documents to read. Now, I'm not sure if that means when she's asleep or in a meditation or when, but what do you think that's called, or what is your idea on that?
Yeah, I've had that happen many, many times too, Sherry. So you're not alone in that. I don't count those as out-of-body experiences. Sometimes they almost seem like hypnagogic images, which are natural hallucinations that come to us while we're falling asleep. You're right, nobody really writes about that, but there are some things written about hypnagogic hallucinations. But a lot of times, you'll see when you're falling asleep, if you stay awake enough and pay attention enough, you can actually see hallucinations float by your field of vision, and they can become very real. And even when you're awake, this can happen too, if you close your eyes and see something, see books or whatever. I've had that happen many times, and I can read the books, but it's I can't remember what it says ever when I come back. Mm-hmm. And I'm just reading the chat here. I'm with Karen. I see faces. I have seen documents, although it's not as common. But a lot of times I'll see just random things, you know, hammers and, you know, whatever, just everyday items. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the everyday items in an out-of-body experience to me seems like, for the most part, I think of it as more of like a communication from spirit while you're in an out-of-body experience, because when I would see random images in the beginning, I wouldn't understand what they meant. But as I learned the language of my spirit guides, the everyday items or the, you know, random things it's not necessarily random anymore, because now I know the language and I understand what they're telling me when they show me certain things. So that's when I see those random one-off images, I'm like, well, now I know what it means when they show me that. So I don't know if it's like that for everybody, but that's what I I think of when I see those kind of things during an experience.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good to be in touch with your guides or your inner voice or whatever, your higher mm-hmm. self. Because I think what a lot of people don't realize is that there's this whole vast other reality that we are a part of, but we don't realize it because we're asleep or we're unconscious when we sleep. For example, I mean, sometimes it seems almost ridiculous to me. It almost seems like me, my conscious awareness, my conscious self, is like a pet. Like I'm like a dog to my higher self, and my higher self kind of leads me around, and you know, by the leash, and I get into different situations and all of this stuff. But really, at the end of the day, my higher self is off experiencing a whole different level of reality and doing all kinds of things. Like they put the dog to rest, and now they're going to go out. You know, my higher self is going to go off and do stuff without me. And sometimes I become conscious and, you know, figure out what's going on. And it's alarming, and it's very interesting to see what kind of goes on behind the scenes. It's kind of like being backstage on a play. You got a play of your life happening, right? Every single minute mm-hmm. you live. But there is a behind the scenes that we're not aware of normally, unless you start doing this kind of thing and start extending your consciousness into the other side of sleep and all of that, you know, leaving putting your body to sleep and leaving your mind awake, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
It is overwhelming, isn't it? When you go into that outlook on your existence and it's like, whoa, mm-hmm. there's a lot to take in that mm-hmm. we just don't have the awareness of when we're awake or in our, you know, conscious awareness, you know, that state. So yeah, it's interesting.
Right. Now, I've never really had a great one-on-one relationship with my spirit guides. To me, I've always had a good rapport and communication with my higher self or my inner voice. And mm-hmm. I actually wrote a book about that. One of my books is called Answers Within, and it's about tapping into your higher self, basically, and learning to communicate one-on-one with it. And but talking to the guides themselves, it almost seems like my vibrations are too low and worldly for that kind of thing. I'll find my, you know, I'll have these weird experiences where I will suddenly become aware and awake of something that's happening to me. And what I'm aware of is I'm aware of, you know, a couple of these guides that are like holding me by the shoulders and carrying me places to, you know, to accomplish different things. But it's like, oh, you're not supposed to be awake and watching this. We'll put you back under, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. It's like I said, it's like I'm just kind of an afterthought or a pet dog that kind of follows, you know, my higher self. And my higher self is off doing all of these weird things. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Well, it's really much better to have your higher self running the show. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I should make that a goal of mine, is to try and get in touch more with my spirit guides. I've never really done much of that. When I have out-of-body experiences, typically I don't see anyone, but I do hear them. I hear guides. So they're always very helpful. And so if I say, you know, hey, can I, you know, I'll be in an out-of-body experience. I'll be like in the void, right? It'll be blackness all around me, and I'll just suddenly say, like, hey, guys, can I have some help here? I want to be able to go here. And I'll hear a voice reply and say, okay, yeah, sure, no problem. We'll take you there. And it's like these guides are out there and they're willing to help, but they're not going to help you unless you actually ask for it. And I'm not sure exactly why that is. But anyway, that's, you know, that's not the same as communicating with, you know, having a good long chat with a spirit guide or anything, but it's kind of a different level.
Well, it's different for everybody, though. You know, yeah. I don't know anybody that, or I mean, it's not common for everybody to have or multiple people have the same exact form of communication with their guide. So if that's how you do it, that's how you do it. And that's cool.
Yeah.
You know? So, and yeah. that works for you, and that's just your way, and that's going to be different than someone else's way, and their way might work for them, and they might see them and not hear them, you know? So it's, everybody has their, like, system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
It's a personal thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's cool. That's cool.
Absolutely.
So let's see if we got any other questions in the chat room here. I'm trying to... look, I think we're caught up with the questions.
There's some, you know, comments
from the folks in the chat room. Yeah.
I see a message on there from Kat answering an earlier question about whether one side of your brain controls your vision or sees things. My understanding is that your brain gets visual information from the retina, and it's routed to the very back of the brain, and from there it's scattered all around the brain. I mean, people are very visual as a rule. Most people are very visual in nature, and so the brain has lots of different areas that it routes that information to. In an out-of-body experience, in my experience, it's not always a right brain or left brain thing. A lot of times people in an OBE are ADD. They're very attention deficit disorder. So I remember like one time, and I think I wrote about this in my first book, one time I left my body and I saw two white blobs and a green blob in my room. And I got distracted by them. And, of course, ADD, right, because I was in out of body. So I'm like, what the heck is that thing? And what is it doing in my bedroom? So I started looking at it and everything, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And it looked like it had some green pointy things coming out of the top. And it's like green spiky things. And so what I did is I, as an experiment, I started doing math problems in my head. So I tried to engage the left side of my brain. So I'm saying, you know, let's, what's 1,024 divided by 512, well, that's 2. You know, and I started doing left brain stuff. And what happened is, as I did the left brain work, the analytical thinking, the object became clearer. And what it was is it was three vases that I had in my bedroom by the window, and they contained three aloe pods. Or there were aloe vera plants, and the green spiky things coming out of these pots were just aloe vera plants. But it's like, okay, riddle solved. But before I engaged my left brain, all I saw them were just, you know, objects that looked green or whatever. I couldn't actually identify what they were until I engaged my left brain. So anyway, it's another fascinating whole topic.
That is.
It is.
There's so much to study with OBEs, like, it would be a never-ending study, right?
Well, it's been my life's study since I, you know, bit the hook in 1979. So that's more than 40 years.
So, Bob, let me ask you this. So when you're on one of these out-of-body experiences, aren't you afraid that you're going to get lost and not find your way back?
A lot of people ask that, but I know you never get, I mean, you can be totally lost and never, you know, I've been in places that I had absolutely no idea where I was, completely hopelessly, you know, in deep space where I couldn't even, you know, see the nearest star was like, you know, long, long, far away. So I've been in way deep space and wondered, you know, what the heck am I doing here? And, you know, but your body always calls you back. That's the bottom line. And I think that our higher selves have a vested interest in this physical body. I think it's created the physical body that you're using to go through certain experiences, life experiences, and learn spiritual lessons. And I think that's what it's all about. And until you are done with those spiritual lessons, I don't think that you're ever going to get lost. Your body, your subconscious, higher self, whatever you want to call it, is going to keep bringing you back to your body because you've got that it's there where you're meant to be and meant to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It would be a very extreme and rare circumstance to not be able to find your way back or to get caught up somewhere that you can't get back.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I mean, there have been cases where, like Robert Monroe, in one of his books, I think it was the first book, he talks about how he's flying at enormous speed through, I don't know, through astral planes or whatever. He's going at great speed, and then all of a sudden it's like, bam, he hits a wall, and he can't get around this wall, and he tries to fly up over it, and he couldn't, and he tries to fly down below it, and he can't, and he right and left, and it's like he's hit this wall. It's like, I, you know, don't know what to do. And I think then he sat down with his back against the wall or whatever, and he lost consciousness, I think, eventually, and woke up back in his body. So it's like, obviously, he still got home, right? But it was kind of a scary experience for him at the time, and understandably so, thinking, well, what if I can't ever get back? But, you know, that's never really happened to me. Like I said, I've been places where I didn't know where I was, but I've always, you know, the problem is staying out long enough, because OBEs tend to be very short by nature.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, and then Karen is asking, what about people who don't want to come back? What if they don't want to come back to their bodies?
Well,
we kind of talked about that last week, Heidi, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Bob?
I kind of like Richard Bach, you know, the author of Illusions and Jonathan Livingston Seagull and that. He wrote a book called The Bridge Across Forever and talks about his wife and soulmate, Leslie, and all of this. And they had a grand plan that they would both learn out-of-body experiences, and then one day they would just leave together and not come back to their body. Well, guess what? They couldn't do it. And, I mean, they tried, I think, and they just always came back to their body. And like I said, I think that we're meant to be in this body to learn lessons and to go through experiences, and I think you can't really get out of that. Or at least, if you know, people who kill themselves, whatever, or don't want to live anymore, I think that's just, you can't get away from those spiritual lessons, right? You're just going to incarnate again, I believe, and have to go through it all again. So you have to work through the pain or whatever you're going through, but you have to work through those lessons. And the easier you go through the lessons, life lessons, the smoother your life will be, I believe. I mean, it's kind of like the Secret. There's the book called The Secret, Law of Attraction and all of that. I think that as long as you're learning the lessons you should be and going through the experiences you were meant to, you can have anything you want. You can do anything you want, and you can manifest anything you want as long as it doesn't interfere. But I think it's all about those lessons, and until you learn them, you're stuck here in that situation. And I think it was in Illusions that Richard Bach wrote that, you know, if you wonder if you've learned your lesson, or if you're through learning your lessons or something like that, check if you're alive, because if you're alive, you still are not done with what you're supposed to do, you know.
Right.
That kind of thing. I didn't word it so eloquently as Richard Bach, but you know.
Yeah. Awesome. Gosh, well, this is fun. So if you guys, you know, I just want to say this. If you guys want to listen to this, and Bob will put the link to this, that'll be on our Podbean site tomorrow. So it'll be out there for everyone to re-listen to, because there's been a lot of information going on in this show. So,
in this show, yep.
Might be good to revisit. And I just want to take a minute, as we always do at this time, to let everybody know not to miss the Calling radio show tomorrow night, our sibling show at 8 p.m., I think it's just going to be Willow tomorrow night. She's going to be talking to psychic Janet Borkowski. So tune in for that. And do listen to our very first gathering show, because it's pretty good.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah, we're at the end of the show. Bob, this has been so great having you here with us. It's always a pleasure to talk with you and hear what you're up to or what's new in the OBE community.
Very fun.
Well, thank you, Heidi and Stephanie, and thanks for having me on the show. I've had a real good time.
Yeah. Good. Well, we will put your links out there again for your websites so people can take a look at that and check out your books.
Mm-hmm. And you'll come back at some point?
Oh, absolutely. Good. Anytime you want.
Awesome.
Fantastic. I look forward to it.
Well, thank you everyone for listening, and for the troops out there, if you're listening tonight, please be safe, and thank you so much for your service.
Absolutely. And everybody in the chat room, you were awesome, and all your questions and comments, thank you so much. Everybody listening, wherever you are, we appreciate you being here with us. And Para X, thank you for hosting us. And Sarge, our most amazing producer, thank you for all of that you do for us. And this has been a great show. We're looking forward to next week.
Mm-hmm.